like to call to order this hearing on the State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee for Wednesday, April 24, 2010. Agenda indicates minutes, but we do not have minutes for today, so we will move to the confirmations, which is the subject of the hearing today. We have some members have other committees going on at the same time, but we have indeed established a quorum, and we will proceed. And we'll proceed according to the agenda and invite Commissioner Rieger to come to the witness table. Commissioner Rieger, if you would just spend a couple minutes talking to us about your background, your work, and when you were appointed, and so on. We'd love to hear from you.
Great. Certainly. Thank you very much. Madam Chair, members, my name is Sheila Rieger, and I'm the Commissioner at the Department of Administration. I'm happy to be here today and participating in this process. It is a new one for me, and as such, I had prepared just a few remarks, but I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. As you may know from the documentation there, my background is perhaps not typical of other commissioners that you have seen, in that I have really made my career here in state government. In fact, even while a student in college, I worked summer breaks and school breaks issuing trucking permits for DOT. So I have quite a lot of experience here in state government. In fact, over 25 years. During that time, I've worked under four different governors and in three different agencies: Transportation, Secretary of State's office, and then two times at the Department of Administration. The past 5 or 6 years, now I've been with admin, 5 years as the deputy, and then the last year as the commissioner. So during this time, I've had the opportunity to work across department lines and really have gained an understanding about the wide range of services that state government provides and to a wide range of customers. I've come to understand what our customers want, deserve, and rightfully demand as taxpayers, and we work very hard at the Department of Administration to meet those demands. At admin, we have a very simple goal. In fact, it's help our customers succeed. It's very simple, and it's a common piece that each of our divisions work hard toward. And in my role as commissioner, I guess I would just like to mention that that would continue to be my goal and my strong focus, which is to stay on the customer focus and then also continuing to create that culture of continuous improvement and finding ways to do things more efficiently, swiftly, cost-effectively, legally, and ethically, and also to position us for the future. I think state government can make improvements in general about not making our decisions necessarily on just what is right now, but where are we headed and what are we seeing? So those are all things that I think about in doing my work.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there questions or comments from members for Commissioner Rieger? Anyone? Senator Marty, would you make a motion then, please?
Madam Chair, move that Commissioner Rieger, Sheila Rieger, be recommended, or that we recommend the appointment of her as Commissioner of Administration be confirmed.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I guess I did want to say that I think that when Dana Badgerow was commissioner, that I know us on State Departments, we really enjoyed working with her, and I'm glad that you were part of her team, and it looks like all your experience in state government and internal management probably makes you one of the more qualified commissioners we've been asked to confirm. So thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And, Commissioner, I would echo those sentiments precisely. You are really an outstanding public servant.
Thank you
and
very much.
And we're really privileged to have you sticking with us. So thank you very much. And just as an aside, I notice in your public official information, mm-hmm. that you and I have exactly the same securities.
Madam Chair, I'm so relieved to hear that.
My goodness,
that's funny.
Through, at least for me, through the deferred compensation program.
Well, I got that one and that one and that one and that one. Anyway,
neither here nor there. We have the Marty motion that the committee recommend that the appointment of Sheila Rieger as Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Administration be confirmed. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Marty?
And Madam Chair, I wish you both the best in your investments.
Oh, so far. Been getting better.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next on our agenda is Judge Raymond Krause for the Chief Administrative Law Judge for the Office of Administrative Hearings. Welcome to the committee. Judge Krause, if you would also give us some background and make any comments that you wish, and then if members have questions, we will call upon them.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Raymond Krause, and I am currently the Chief Administrative Law Judge for the state of Minnesota. I'd like to thank the committee for the opportunity to appear today. And I've provided the committee staff with an update on OAH over the last few years. And I won't go into it in detail, but I would like to hit a few of the high points. This is my second time before this committee for confirmation. I was appointed by Governor Pawlenty 6 years ago to this position. And over the past 6 years, OAH has been asked by the legislature and by many Minnesota municipalities to take on more jurisdiction. For example, we've taken on hearing of the political campaign cases, practice violation cases, and done so with less than the anticipated budget and within the stringent timeframes that the legislature put on those hearings. We've also responded to the problems being faced by the judicial branch in their budget by taking on for quite a few municipalities, local ordinance hearings, which used to go to community court and in many jurisdictions are no longer being held. And that has worked exceptionally well for a number of smaller communities who have found our services to be cost effective. We've also moved from our previous location in Minneapolis to very expensive commercial space in Minneapolis to much more customer-friendly space in the Stassen building, just a couple blocks from here. That move, which we worked very hard to get done, ended up resulting in $400,000 per year in budget savings, and the build-out of the space was brought in on time and significantly under budget. In addition to that, I think the more exciting piece is that we initiated a shared service arrangement with the Department of Revenue, and we now share financial support, technology, security, library, and reception services with DOR, and that results in a significant saving for both agencies each year. In the meantime, our judges have continued to meet and improve on our statutory timelines in workers' compensation and in administrative hearings. And for the last 4 years, OAH has not requested a rate increase and has met all of our budget reduction targets. I, again, think this opportunity to serve as Chief Administrative Law Judge is exciting and challenging, and I believe there's a number of other things that we can do to add value, and I look forward to bringing some of those ideas to this committee for consideration in the upcoming years. And I thank you for your attention and be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Are there questions for Judge Krause? Senator Morty.
Madam Chair, Judge Krause, I'm just curious, are there so many times when we're trying to find somebody to find a good process for things and everybody keeps turning to administrative law judge process and so is your, because we're eventually finding more things to steer your direction, just out of curiosity, how is the size of the functions you perform there grown in the last decade?
Madam Chair, Senator Marty, the number of functions that we perform have grown significantly. I just touched on a couple here, but there are several more fairly significant ones. So the jurisdiction has grown quite a bit and grows every year. The size of our operation, however, has not. We have the same number of administrative law judges we had 6 years ago. We have actually two less workers' compensation judges than we had 6 years ago. And we are, at the same time, improving on the timelines, getting the cases heard and out. And that's through some computerization that we've done and also some streamlining in our processes. So the jurisdiction has grown, but the organization itself has not.
Senator Olsen.
Madam Chair, I would just like to say that I've been very impressed with your ability or willingness to take on all these new challenges like the implied consent. And I also see an opportunity for the state to save a lot of money with some of the things you're willing to do. And so with that, I would like to make a recommendation.
Sure. Senator
and I'm not going to read the speech.
No, you need to.
Oh, I have to read
this.
You
need to make a motion.
Okay.
But before you do that, Senator Olsen, is there anyone else that has a question or a comment for Judge Krause? I would just like to say that we really appreciated Mr. Johnson's activities with our committee as well, and particularly during the interim last time, taking the time to walk members of the committees and our staff members through the rulemaking process. I think that added to the understanding of what seems to be a very complicated process for many legislators, and it was very helpful, and I appreciate him and your support of his work in that regard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and for the record, we're although he is retiring, I'm not quite letting him go. He's coming back on post-retirement status, and I'm not going to let him get away that easily.
He has done a magnificent job.
Thank you.
Thank you to him, and he is present here as well. Now, Senator Olsen, do you have a motion, please?
Madam Chair, I would move that the committee recommend the appointment of Judge Raymond Krause to the Chief Administrative Law Judge office.
Be confirmed.
Yes.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam
Judge
Chair.
Krause,
members.
Congratulations. Now the Gambling Control Board. We have three people before us today. Mr. William Gillespie. We'll ask them all three to come up, I think, together. Mr. Norman Pent and Mr. Robert Hyde. Mr. Gillespie is the Attorney General appointee. Mr. Pent is the appointee from the Commissioner of Public Safety. And then we have Mr. Hyde. Let's see. Maybe we'll begin with you, sir, if you would identify yourself, please, for the record, and then we will and tell us a little something about yourself.
Sure. My name is Bob Hyde. I live in Plymouth, Minnesota, and I was appointed by the governor to the Gambling Control Board last May, so effective July of 2009 is when I started to serve. I believe my appointment was primarily made because of my accounting background and the importance that accounting has and lots of our licensees and internal controls and financial reporting of gambling operations. So I think my appointment helped a little bit in terms of my background. I am a certified public accountant and have been involved in public accounting since 1973 and just recently retired from a public accounting firm last May. And currently, I have served on the State Board of Accountancy for the last 8 years, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hyde. Mr. Hyde is a constituent of Senator Bonner. Questions or comments? Senator Olsen.
I have a question, Madam Chair, and that has to do with, do you guys oversee the compulsive gambling? Is that part of your jurisdiction?
Mr. Hyde?
If I may ask.
Is yes, but Mr. Barrett, if you do you want to make any
who's our executive director?
Yep. Tom Barrett, director of the Gambling Control Board. What the Gambling Control Board oversees is the funding, the grant funding for the North Star Problem Gambling Alliance. Now, the Department of Human Services has a tremendous program for problem gambling. So I just, the only thing we're administrating is the grant money for North Star.
Madam Chair, the point I was trying to get at is we had seen in state government budget where there was like a reserve of like $18,000 taken out of the compulsive gambler fund for to meet state deficit, I believe. And I was concerned with that because there's money in that fund for a reason, and I was just wondering if that puts that control or the problem gambling gamblers at risk as far as working with people that have a problem with that.
Madam Chair and Senator Goldstein, the funding that was pertaining to the Gambling Control Board, which was dedicated funding, and the grant money was restored in the recent appropriation bill related to our agency.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Hyde? Someone care to make a motion? Senator Olsen.
Madam Chair, I would move that committee recommend the appointment of Mr. Hyde to the Gambling Control Board be confirmed.
You've heard the motion. Is there further discussion? Anyone else wish to comment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Mr. Hyde. We are glad that you are interested in serving in that position. Good accountants, as we know, are always needed in every organization.
Yes,
sir, next.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Norman Pint. I reside in rural New Prague, Minnesota. I'll give you a little bit of my background. I have spent, prior to my retirement, 34 years in law enforcement, working at the city, county, and state level. My last 17 years was with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division. During that time, I had the opportunity to work with many different gambling agencies in the state, including the tribal governments, the Racing Commission, the Gambling Control Board, and State Lottery. Also had the opportunity to testify in front of the House and Senate a number of times and work with members on initiatives of the Department of Public Safety for different statute and rule changes over my experience. Since my retirement, I've been just doing some odd jobs and doing a little bit of farming.
Okay. Mr. Pent is Senator Kevin Dahl's constituent. Are there questions for Mr. Pent?
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Hello. He's from Scott County, too, so I'm familiar with him. I was just wondering, now you are already in your third year on the board, is that correct?
That's correct.
And I'm wondering if we passed a number of bills and various legislation to try and keep all of the charitable organizations, operating efficiently and well. And I'm wondering if you've seen many problems and things that we might need to be continuing to look at and address, either through the enforcement end or just through changing laws.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, I think the current regulation is working very well. Some of the problems that I see occurring in charitable gambling, though, is just the turnover in some types of organizations. For instance, hockey organizations seem to have a turnover. As the children progress out of hockey, a new group comes in, and oftentimes there isn't the knowledge base to where they know how to operate the charitable gambling very well. They don't have people that have been in it for years. That's one of the concerns I have, but I don't know how that's fixed other than I think the board staff do a good job of mentoring and answering questions and trying to guide them in a proper way, but oftentimes they just don't seem to want to have help or they just don't know to ask the questions. We see a number. I'm on the compliance review group of the Gambling Control Board, and we see many organizations come forth where they just don't have the initiative to ask for help or really pay attention to the tracking of the money and the play of the games. But that's a small minority. The majority of them I do an excellent job of regulating their gambling.
Thank you. Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Another question is, do you find that most of them are still volunteers, or are a number of them paid managers now?
Mr. Pant.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, I believe, I don't know the statistics, but there are many, there seem to be many volunteers in some types of organizations, and in other types of organizations there seem to be paid employees. I don't know the statistical breakdown. I'm not even sure we collect that information. But just in working on the compliance review group and listening to the problems that some organizations have that take them down a path of getting having problems with their license and complying with the law, it seems like oftentimes it's paid employees, it's paid gambling managers that should know better, but they just don't pay attention to business. I think one of the biggest problems is the fact that oftentimes organizations delegate too much authority to the gambling manager and really don't have a committee within the organization to oversee the gambling manager. In other words, it's always good to have two people counting the money and making sure deposits are made and the records are kept properly.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? Senator Roebling.
Madam Chair, I would move that the committee recommend the appointment of Norman Pint to the Gambling Control Board be confirmed.
Is there further conversation? Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Gillespie, you want to identify yourself, please?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I am Bill Gillespie, and I am the appointee of Lori Swanson, the Attorney General of the State of Minnesota. I am a Maplewood resident. I am a retired St. Paul police officer. I served there for 25 years. Worked for a private corporation in St. Paul as an administrative position for another 4 or 5 years, and then retired from that, and then became the executive director of the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association, and retired from that after 7 years. I'm not lazy. I just got enough. And I guess other than that, I have really nothing to offer, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. I am the legislative chair for the Charitable Gambling Board, so you may occasionally hear my voice.
And Mr. Gillespie, then, are you a constituent of Senator Weaver? Is that correct?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that is correct.
Are there questions for Mr. Gillespie? Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gillespie, I was just curious, on the application form we have, you have a downtown St. Paul address.
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas.
Mr. Gillespie.
Yes, I moved. But there's nothing onerous about it.
That's my district. That's just, the onerous thing.
It was.
No, I honestly mean
I voted for you. And
Madam Chair, you should. People go the other way. They usually leave the suburbs and move to downtown St. Paul.
The appointment was made in 2007. So it's been some time. Any questions for Mr. Gillespie? Senator Roebling.
Thank you. I just would like to ask the same question about if you feel that our laws that we have regulating charitable gambling right now are appropriate, or if there is something that you are starting to see that might be necessary to cover problems that may be still developing.
Mr. Gillespie.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, the laws covering charitable gambling are pretty specific. Because it is really a covenant type of operation, it's something that we entered into. The state controls a great deal of the operation as far as the operating rules. So the rules themselves are pretty clear, pretty concise. Problems that you might have, as Mr. Pint indicated, is theft or that sort of thing. But usually, even in that situation, it's usually burglary or something along that lines. It's not even theft within the organization. Somebody fails to follow the proper protocol and doesn't put the money away, and then unluckily somebody breaks in and takes the money. There's not much you can do about that, crime being what it is, and it happens occasionally, VFWs and host organizations. The only, if I were emperor, the only law that is applicable to charitable gambling that I would change is the state's take on the tax rate. Frankly, I don't understand why you tax host organizations that are only doing good as far as taking care of a lot of needs that society forgets
about. You just made
Mr.
Wilson really happy, you know.
That's my one goal in life. But that's really it. I mean, I don't understand that. Never did understand it, but I comply.
Thank you.
Mr. Hyde, I know that we've already acted on your confirmation, but I wonder if you had any response to the questions that Senator Roebling asked of Mr. Penn and Mr. Gillespie.
I think my response is, Senator Rest, would be very similar to what they said.
Just wanted to give you an opportunity to do that. Any other questions or comments? Senator Pappas,
Madam
of your
Chair,
former constituent.
In spite of his desertion, move that the committee recommend that the appointment of William Gillespie to the Gambling Control Board be confirmed.
You've heard the motion. Is there any further discussion? Anyone in the public wish to comment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very
you,
much,
Chair.
Gentlemen, and congratulations. The next two confirmations to be considered are for the Campaign Finance and Disclosure Board, Mr. Greg McCullough and Mr. John Scanlon. Mr. McCullough, we will begin with you. You would identify yourself for the record and then tell us something about yourself.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Senators. My name is Greg McCullough, and I was appointed to the Campaign Finance Board last May of 2009, by the governor. It's been my honor to serve on the board since then. I've been a resident of Minnesota since 1996, currently reside in Edina, and for the past...
Senator Michelle's constituent.
For the past 15 years or so, I've worked in marketing and communications for several Minnesota corporations, and I'm currently an independent management consultant. Happy to take any questions you all have for me.
Are there questions for Mr. McCullum? I see we share the same alma mater, Mr. McCullum. we have to look for all these things, you know, where people live, et cetera. I went to the Northwestern University as well a number of years before you did.
Madam Chair, how do my investments look?
Well, I'm looking at there's a couple there that I recognize,
Madam Chair.
However, both of you have to know that your ruling on the Twins tickets was not well received.
Yes, we do know that.
You don't. You probably have heard from a number of people. It didn't affect actually any of us, I believe. But
what's that ruling? Madam Chair, what was the ruling?
Hennepin County commissioners could not accept the tickets if they didn't have already tickets purchased in the public domain for the opener.
For the opener.
They could wander around. They just couldn't sit down. It's the way I read your ruling, okay? Are there questions for Mr. McCullum, either about his comments or his experience or qualifications? Senator Pappas.
Yeah, Mr. McCullough, and I'll ask the same question of Mr. Scanlon. Have there been any significant changes or challenges that the Campaign Finance Board has had to deal with as a result of the lack of funding for the campaign rebate program?
Mr. McCullum.
None that I'm aware of specific to that program. I think our challenges are really ones involving just the continual need for communication, particularly to new or newer candidates to the process, educating about, what the rules are and trying to help avoid inadvertent trip-ups.
Right. And, Madam Chair, I have appreciated that with the Campaign Finance Board, that not to assume that people are, you know, trying to get away with things or breaking the law, but are trying to understand
sure.
how to be in compliance, and that sometimes it's complicated. You know, I mean, we've all had fines at different points
yeah.
for mistakes, and that our treasurers are volunteers.
Right.
And they need as much help as
That's
they can
right.
get.
Any other questions, Senator Carlson?
Yes, Madam Chair and Mr. McCullough, do you feel that you have the resources that you need for doing, for instance, compliance audits or spot checks, anything like that?
Mr. McCullough?
You know, I would maybe defer to our executive director, Gary Goldsmith, on that. I mean, my own view is that we do. The staff does an excellent job of preparing the board members on all issues that come before the board, but I would defer to Mr. Goldsmith on that question.
And Senator Carlson, keeping in mind that the both for 211B and for 10A, it's a complaint process more than anything else that they would be ruling on, other than what they see when they check on the reports that we hand in to make sure that they're reconciled. Mr. Goldsmith, though, would you like to comment further?
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Carlson. We have adequate resources to do our day-to-day operations, and among those day-to-day operations include a review of each filed report. Part of that is done by computer to detect any violations of statute, and then there's a manual review to make sure the computer is correct, that the data entry wasn't done incorrectly. One thing the board has not done and has never done, actually, is what you might refer to as random audits, where we simply pick a file and do a more thorough audit of that. We haven't had the resources to do that. There hasn't seemed to be a big reason to do that in Minnesota. We have observed a few reports that have come in that have some things that look questionable on them, and when we get to a period where we're not quite as busy, the filing's just concluded at the end of the year, we may take a look at those in a little more depth. So I think generally we have adequate resources at least through 2013.
Any further comment? Or Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering about response time, and not that I put in many inquiries to the Campaign Finance Board, but when people have questions about whether something is a legitimate expense or not to use their campaign dollars for, do you feel there's a pretty quick turnaround, that responses come rather quickly for people who are probably waiting for an immediate answer?
Mr. McCollum?
Thank you. That's a good question. You know, I believe our response time is sufficient, but I would certainly be interested in other opinions on that. Generally, you know, the board meets once a month, and the issues that are elevated are usually acted upon the month following the, you know, they come up. And sometimes they get laid over, you know, based on the need for more information or interviews or understanding of the facts. But, you know, the board really does try to respond as quickly as possible.
I think with regard, by the way, to inquiries with regard to the campaign finance reporter, I have found that the response is same day. If you don't reach them directly, you get a call back on the same day with a response to something that's not right in the system, at least as it is with regard to whatever I've been working on. Mr. Goldsmith, did you have any further comment?
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling. As far as response time for staff advice, assuming that the staff member that was called isn't on vacation that day, the response time would tend to be the same day. Once in a while, we'll have to have an internal conference to discuss the situation, but we try to respond the same day. If on some consistent basis that seems not to be happening, I would want to be informed of that.
Thank you. Anything further? Mr. McCullough, my brother and I are both Northwestern alums, and we have enjoyed for a number of years now that Saturday in January where we interview prospective Minnesota candidates who are applying to Northwestern. They have just incredible talent, and I'm sure that's true for other schools as well. But it's just been a real joy to meet those young people, whether they end up choosing Northwestern or not. It's just a grand experience, and I hope it continues. And I assume by being on the Northwestern University Alumni Missions Council that you're in part responsible for that. And
I'll look for you
for it. Okay. Anyone else have a comment? How about Senator Carlson? Would you like to make a motion, please, for us?
Madam Chair, I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Mr. Greg McCullough to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board be confirmed.
You've heard the motion. Is there further discussion? Anyone in the public? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Next, Mr. Scanlon. An appointment to the Camping Finance Board. If you would care to tell us something about yourself. And it's noted that neither Mr. Scanlon nor Mr. McCullough expressed a party preference in their appointment applications, and because there is a requirement that there be no more than a certain number of any one political party. Same thing is true for a number of others as well. Mr. Scanlon, if you would tell us about yourself, please.
Madam Chair, members, my name is John Scanlon, and this actually is the second time I've had the honor of appearing before this committee. Last year I appeared for this very same confirmation because I was filling an unexpired term on the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. So I was first appointed in October 2008 and then reappointed with this last session. In my day job, if you will, I work at 3M in the Office of General Counsel, and I worked there for 20 years. I'm a resident of St. Paul, not in your district, Senator, but on the other side of town.
Senator Mua's constituent. Are there questions or comments for
Madam Chair, I just wanted to hear from Mr. Scanlon if you see of any particular issues or challenges on the with the Campaign Finance Board right now.
Mr. Scanlon.
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas, I think for immediate issues, and I know that Mr. Goldsmith is working with Senator Rest and many of you to address what I think would be the most pressing issue is how will our board respond to Citizens United, mm-hmm. and how the ripple down effect will be of that ruling on Chapter 10A issues.
Corporate contributions.
Corporate contributions primarily.
Independent expenditures. Mm-hmm. Yes, and those the issues that are brought up by that continue to be very problematic, I know, for the board and also for the legislature. And as you know, we have a suit that's been filed, and there may be more than one suit filed in Minnesota with regard to that Supreme Court decision. And we know that the federal Congress is contemplating some actions as well. And I think there is in as big a quandary about what may be the proper response relating to disclosure and reporting based on that new understanding of the rights, First Amendment rights of corporations. And I don't think anybody has found the right wisdom yet, but we're all working on it, or thinking about it at least. We'll see what happens. Are there comments for Mr. Scanlon or further comments or questions? Senator Pappas?
I would move that the committee recommend that the appointment of John Scanlon to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board be confirmed.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Congratulations. The next three are appointments from the Metropolitan Council. Ms. Polly Peterson, Bowles, Mr. Richard Aguilar, and Mr. Craig Peterson. Ms. Peterson-Bowles, we will begin with you. If you would tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Polly Bowles, and I represent District 5 on the Met Council. And that's Edina, Richfield, Bloomington, and the unincorporated area of Fort Snelling.
And that is Senator, at least Senator Michelle, and then is it also Senator Kielash?
He represents the
part
the
of
Richfield
the district.
Area.
I realize you live in Senator Michelle's district, but your commissioner district includes Senator Kielash and Senator Michelle and anyone else?
There are multiple. I'm trying to think. Lancheski, I've had some dealings with. I haven't
I just
spent
mean in the
Oh, only, I'm sorry.
We only care about the
Senate.
Senate.
Yeah, you know, there are several that I interact with that I don't even necessarily distinguish whether they're actually. I have to say, my view of.
We just get weird. Just curious about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, and my view of my position and my constituency is really that it represents the whole metropolitan region and that I'm just kind of a liaison as such to make sure that the people in my geographical area have access to the council, that their concerns are getting directly heard and so forth. But my representation is for all the members of the region. This is actually my second stint on the council. I was appointed in the early 1990s to fill a vacancy and then was reappointed. Actually served as vice chair of the council at that time. I then left for childcare reasons. I had four young children, and instead I served on some commissions at the time. I had the privilege of serving on the regional task force on metropolitan governance that kind of revamped the way the council is run, made recommendations to the legislature that were adopted. And I also worked on the compensation council on a couple of different occasions. It was my pleasure to be reappointed to fill another vacancy in June of 2008, and I currently serve on the Community Development Committee and the Environmental Committee on the council.
Are there questions or comments for Ms. Bowles? Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I probably shouldn't ask this, but how's the mediation going?
Well, you know, I'm anxious to get over to our, we have a meeting here that starts in 10 minutes, and one of the things on the agenda is an update on that. So
all right.
I
well, we
don't
should
know the
keep
latest.
Them then.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Ms. Bowles? I see that you, in part of your background, that you served on the Treehouse Board of Directors.
And I am currently on the board.
Are you? And my Rotary Club has a very a close relationship to the Treehouse facility in New Hope, and we enjoy getting to know those young people that receive services there, and they become a real asset to our community. So
Madam
thank
Chair,
you very
I appreciate
much for
that.
Their
a
work.
Wonderful organization.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering, you know, we're all taking budget cuts, and it seems that revenues for us are down, and I'm wondering how you're dealing with any budget cuts, if you've had some significant ones. I know transit has been struggling in particular. So what is your philosophy on how you will deal with those, whether it's through cuts in services or laying off employees? What has been the strategy of the Met Council?
Well, as you know, there were some adjustments made in this last go-round as far as using reserve dollars and using things like some of the funding for the community, livable communities funds, using those for transportation, which was something that we all kind of had to, you know, bite the bullet in recommending because I think we're all committed to the livable communities funding. But with the economy down, not only were there great financial needs in other areas, but development was down, and so there wasn't quite as much demand for those funds. So from a timing standpoint, it made sense to do that as a temporary fix. There have been projects that have been looked at delaying things in like sewers. There are some significant funding concerns in sewers and the way those are funded right now, and trying to look at what capital projects could perhaps be delayed. But I think there is an ongoing concern that, you know, we need to look at the structure of our funding, that some of the mechanisms that have been used, to really look at them and say, are they faulty in themselves and needing change, or is it, you know, is this one of those perfect storm moments that people are experiencing and causing a problem right now, but that these formulas generally work? And I think that that's something that we, you know, we'll be continuing to look at and coming back with to the legislature if we see that there are things that need to be tinkered with or overhauled going forward for some of those funding formulas.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
What about staffing? You know, as you mentioned, development has slowed down tremendously, and I know that a big portion of the Met Council staff, their planners, have they continued to keep the same size staff in that department as well?
I think that the staff has been about the same, partly in the planning area. While there's not a lot of development going on, we've been in the kind of the cycle of all the communities redoing their comprehensive plans. And so they've been very busy with reviewing those, and we're still in the process of reviewing and improving community plans. There have been cases where, you know, maybe one department is a little bit slower, and instead of hiring for a need somewhere else, we've shifted some people around to fill those needs internally.
Mr. Chetnan, would you like to comment?
Madam Chair and members, the council is participating.
You need to identify yourself.
Oh, my name is Judd Chetnan. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council, and the council is participating in the hiring freeze as well. So we are just not filling positions. But Councilmember Bowles is correct that we are just wrapping up the comp plan process. So we have needed all of those planners. However, the council has reduced its overall staffing over the past 8 years from where we came in 2003. However, we've also added employees where we have begun service on the North Star commuter rail line and also the Hiawatha light rail line. So you will see additional employees from our baseline, but that is only due to make up for the positions that were reduced, because we have had a number of positions that we just haven't filled after the folks have retired.
Thank you.
Sense?
Madam Chair. Anything further? Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, is the Met Council a paid position or voluntary? I can't remember.
Madam Chair, the council in 1994, when they revamped it, they went from a per diem system to a flat $20,000 a year, and that amount has been the same since then. So it is considered a part-time position, and we are not considered employees of the council, but there's a $20,000 payment with it.
So do you get any, Madam Chair?
Senator Pappas.
Do you get health benefits with that then or not?
We do not get health benefits. We do have the option to pay for those, you know, to sign on to the group coverage where we pay the full premium on it. The council does not provide benefits.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, it looks to me like Ms. Bowles is, other than the small salary she makes with the Met Council, a full-time professional volunteer, and there are very few of those left anymore. And so I just want to thank you for your service, that we as a state have benefited from your considerable skills and talents over many years.
Thank you. And if I can just add one more comment in line with the volunteering and so forth, is many, many years ago, I had the chance to participate for about 6 years in the YMCA Youth and Government Program. And it always reminds me of that when I come into a hearing room or get over to the Capitol. And I just always want to take every opportunity to thank members of the legislature for their involvement and support of that opportunity for our young people to come and learn about our state government.
Thank you, Ms. Bowles. Is there a motion? Let's move around.
We can move
Senator
around.
Sieben.
Other people can make the motion.
Madam Chair, I move that the name of, or I'm sorry, I lost the sheet of what I'm supposed to say.
I never saw the sheet.
Thanks. I guess it's not that hard. Madam Chair, I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Polly Peterson Bowles for District 5 of the Metropolitan Council be confirmed.
Heard the motion. Is there any further discussion? Anyone in the public wish to say anything? On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails. Thank you very much. Congratulations, Ms. Bowles. We'll next hear from Mr. Richard Aguilar.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, committee members. I am Richard Aguilar. I reside in West St. Paul, and I was appointed to the Met Council by Governor Tim Pawlenty in 2003 and reappointed in 2007. I represent District 13, which includes Mendota Heights, Sunfish Lake, West St. Paul, Lilydale, the west side, and the eastern half of St. Paul.
And so, Mr. Aguilar, then?
I would think Metzen, Senator Metzen,
no, and
the other icons in St. Paul, Senator Pappas.
Part
and,
of Senator Pappas'
and Moore,
district,
I would believe.
And Senator Moore's district.
Yes.
Okay.
I also have a company, Aguilar Productions. We produce conferences that focus on the, we call the emerging markets, Asian, African-American, Hispanic, African markets. Also have the pleasure of serving as a volunteer as a commissioner of the St. Paul River Center, also a founder of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and another honor of being the chair of the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce in the year 2000. I serve on the Transportation and Community Development Committees here on the Met Council, and it's been a real pleasure of serving on the Met Council. I've really grown to appreciate the tremendous work they do, not only in planning and planning for growth, but also in the roles of doing one, having one of the best wastewater treatment services in the country. Our transit is an award-winning transit group, and also the being able to be involved in the light rail. I did say at our at a meeting that we had that in volunteering, sometimes you get the honor of serving on some very exciting committees. So that's two for me. One was the being with the River Center when we opened the XL Arena. And the other was serving the Met Council, of course, with the advent of the light rail. So if there's any questions, thank you.
Are there questions or comments from Mr. Aguilar? Senator Roebling.
Mr. Aguilar, mm-hmm. Which committees do you serve on? Do you serve on the wastewater treatment?
Transportation and community development.
I was going to ask something about wastewater treatment, but I won't.
Yeah, that's not my idea. Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rolstein.
I know a lot of times when we're in our kind of positions, our wives or our spouses are a big part of it, but mm-hmm. This is pretty amazing. What your wife is the chancellor of Mexico at the consulate in California?
Yeah, she was actually, I met her here in 1980. Just for information, there was an official consulate here. I know we have one now, but there was the first official Mexican consulate opened in 1980. It was located next to the Ecolab building in St. Paul. We met there. And her career's taken her to serving in the embassy in Mexico City and working here in Washington, D.C., and Chicago, and now in living and working in the Los Angeles area. And I've kept my business here and my connections here, and it's worked out. We've been married close to 28 years. So it can work.
Madam Chair, I suspect there's a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Well, there is, yeah. There has been. And, it's quite different when you live in California, and we've been there, I think, close to 15 years. And it's a beautiful place to live, but you wouldn't want to visit. So it's been great as not going there as a tourist, but actually having beautiful homes. And we've raised our two daughters there. They both went to college, graduated from Loyola Marymount and Chapman University out in Los Angeles. In fact, they're working there now in Hispanic marketing. So I'm still commuting out there.
Are there further questions for Mr. Aguilar? Anyone in the public wish to make a comment? Seeing none, is there a motion? We're moving around. Senator Perry.
Madam Chair, I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Richard Aguilar, District 13 member, Metropolitan Council, be confirmed.
Heard the motion. Is there further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Congratulations, Mr. Aguilar.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have Mr. Peterson. We know that then the last time we were having confirmation hearings that you were trying to get here, but it was terribly, maybe the other two of you as well, and terrible snowstorm. And we do appreciate your the three of you willing to reschedule with us. We had moved the appointments without recommendation and then brought them back because we thought we should be that we should indeed have the opportunity to meet you and hear from you, and then the appointments and action on them will be referred to the Senate floor. Mr. Peterson was appointed to represent District 4, which is at least includes Chanhassen, and that is Senator Ortman's district. Mr. Peterson, if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and whatever comments you'd like to make with regard to your Met Council service.
Certainly. Thank you for the opportunity to come again, Madam Chair. In District 4, I won't go through all the cities because all the cities would include all of Scott County and all of Carver County, so I'll save time by not sharing that.
So it's Senator Ortman, but then is that, and Senator Roebling, and any other senators, or is it those two? Okay.
Well, Senator Kevin Dahl has part of Scott.
As part of Scott.
Senator John Dahl has one precinct in Scott.
Yeah,
and who does?
Senator John Dahl.
And Senator John Dahl. So, okay. So we have you located.
I put a lot of miles on my car with my district, so I wish I could say I had one city, but I don't.
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you. As a matter of background, I do reside in Chanhassen and have done that for about 20 years. I spent almost 25 years in corporate America working in Eden Prairie for a company called Gelco and served in various spots there over the years, and left there about 5 years ago as an owner and as an officer and vice president of administration. My corporate background is really been focusing on efficiencies and handling administrative functions throughout all those years, and if I have a expertise, that's what I consider that to be, in providing efficiencies to corporate America. As a matter of government service, I had the pleasure of serving as the Chanhassen Planning Commission for a number of years. I served as a elected official and as councilman for about 7 years until I got appointed to this position in 2008. Within those service years, I also chaired the Southwest Transit Commission, serving Chaska and Chanhassen and Eden Prairie for bus service. I also served as a city representative to the Transportation Advisory Board, TAB, under the Met Council for a number of years. And I have certainly enjoyed government service, and we talk about volunteering, and I guess similar to you guys, it is a degree of volunteerism, and I appreciated the opportunity. I certainly have appreciated the opportunity to serve in the Met Council. It's been a no less than interesting time when you change the scope from one serving as an elected official in one city with a budget of a couple million to dealing with efficiency issues when you have almost a three-quarters of a $1 billion budget. So that has been truly interesting and enjoyable to help them find efficiencies. And that, as I would offer, would be certainly one of the genesis of why the Met Council is here, is to find efficiencies and help cities grow and counties, et cetera, et cetera. In my district, I'm proud to say that both Scott and Carver County have been historically the fastest growing cities and counties in the metro region. And I certainly believe when the economy starts again that both those counties will be the leader in growth for the region. And with that growth means that we have some unique infrastructure needs that I've been interested in and been proud to represent both the counties in those growth needs. So with that, I'd be happy to take questions.
Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I spared the other two this question, but in my district, bordering the Met Council, they are scared to death that the Met Council will come into Chisago and Isanti and expand into other counties. Do you see something like that happening, or?
You know, certainly.
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator. The answer is not if the counties don't want to join. I mean, I think there are benefits, and I would offer mostly benefits and very few negatives in joining up with the Met Council. You know, we have worked diligently to let counties and cities and townships make decisions and not try to put onerous rules and regulations on them. I think that the Met Council has gotten a bad rap to some degree, that we aren't the big bad ogre that we some people portend us to be. We'd really try to work in concert with the cities and counties to make things better for everybody.
Madam Chair.
Senator Olsen.
Having said that, I personally would be interested in, like, subordinate service districts agreements for long-distance transit, for buses to go up into, you know, areas outside of the Met Council. It just makes sense in a regional transit system that it doesn't stop at a county line or something like that. So,
General Singh, you want the benefits, but not the...
exactly, Madam Chair.
That's right. Yeah.
Madam Chair, if I use time, and there have been some examples of that. I'm thinking particularly up in the northeast section where there was some bus lines that were put in kind of on a temporary basis but have now been continued in various ways. So we do look at those.
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Peterson, do you support the quarter-cent sales tax that was initiated in the metropolitan area?
If you're asking, did I vote for it, the answer is yes. I think that the transportation infrastructure within the seven-county metro area is obviously lacking, and we needed some funding, and the gas tax couldn't be raised enough to deal with it. So I did support it, yes.
Mr. Peterson, I want to congratulate you on that wonderful new high school you have in your community. And I mentioned, this is family day here, but I mentioned to Mr. McCullough that my brother and I were Northwestern grads. Well, my brother serves on the East Carver County School Board.
Oh, okay.
And their family, he and his family live in Chaska. His sons go to Chaska High School, graduating there this year, but he's very proud of the work that's and the new opportunities that are coming to the East Carver County School District with the inauguration of the new high school.
We are proud of it. And I was confused. I was sitting out on my deck last fall, and I heard kids and adults screaming, and I couldn't figure. It took me a half hour to figure out it was a ball game
at the school,
the first one. So that's appreciate
great.
The comment, Senator.
Is there a motion regarding Mr. Peterson? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I must say, when Mr. Peterson was first recommended by the governor, he was from Carver County, and Scott County hadn't had a representative for 24 years or something, I wasn't very happy. But Mr. Peterson has proven himself to be a very effective representative for Scott County as well. I've seen a great deal of him. He's very open to listening to our concerns and taking them back to the council, and I've been very pleased with his representation. So with that, I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Craig Peterson to the District 4 seat of the Metropolitan Council be confirmed.
Is there discussion on that motion? Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none on the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. Congratulations, we will be forwarding your appointments to the Senate floor. Thank you very much. Next, we'll take up the Minnesota Racing Commission. We have Mr. Mark Ethan, Ms. Christine Sundberg, Mr. James Sargent Lane. Just to be clear, where's the... Um, one point in the past, for those appointments where there needs to be or there is required to have political balance, the Minnesota Racing Commission is one of those entities. Not more than five of the members may belong to the same political party, and currently the political affiliations are one Democrat, four Republicans, one Independent, and two who have no party. And those appointments that we are considering today are within that statutory requirement. We will begin with Mr. Ethan. Welcome to the committee. If you would identify yourself and talk to us about your work on the Racing Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mark Ethan. I reside in Blaine, Minnesota. Have for a number of years. I was appointed to the commission by the governor in November to fill a seat vacancy at that time. In discussions prior to appointment, there had been some discussions among the members of the commission about a finance and or accounting type of background amongst the members of the commission, and more specifically, I think that is what led to myself being sought for and myself accepting that with the governor and his staff. Kind of a little background on myself. I've been in commercial banking most of my career, going back to being a bank examiner prior to that with the FDIC as I came out of college. Have largely worked in Minnesota with a brief time out of state and resided mostly in the northern suburbs. Again, mostly focused in the commercial end of things. It's kind of been my background. With that, I guess I would open up for any questions relative to that.
Are there questions or comments for Mr. Ethan? Senator Rolstein.
Madam Chair, I'm just curious, because some of the other applicants are in real active in the horse industry, and I was just curious with your affiliation, if there is any in the horse industry, or what is your primary interest, do you think, that you were chosen for this?
Well, he says here, fishing, traveling, and golfing. He doesn't mention horses, but.
Madam Chair,
Mr. Ethan, and Mr. Ethan is Senator Betzel's constituent, I understand.
That's a very good question, Mr. Olson. Really, it largely ties into an interest to serve, and one of the things I've put down is community involvement. I've been fairly active in the past in the Metro North area relative to economic development and so on, with past roles in the Chamber of Commerce and such. Thought this was an opportunity to serve in something that has, I think, a very significant economic development, economic impact in the area which I reside. In particular, the Running Aces horse track that is in the area. So that's primarily my interest relative to that. Little or no horse background. I think the last time I rode a horse, it wasn't exactly a great experience, and I haven't taken up after that. So it mostly tied into my financial background as well.
Are there questions or comments for Mr. Ethan?
Madam Chair?
Senator Roebling.
Thank you. I noticed that one of the jobs of the commission is that it enforces and collects all applicable taxes and license fees. I understand that we had Running Aces come on board, so I suppose there was an increase in those fees and taxes because of that, perhaps. But in general, have we even seen a decline? I represent Shakopee, of course, And I know that there's been some struggles keeping horses there for the racing season because the purses aren't that big. And there's better opportunities sometimes in neighboring states. So have you been able to get a look at that yet to see what is actually happening in that industry?
Madam Chair, Senator, to the extent that we do see some declining trends within the revenues generated. It's a little bit commingled probably with the economic conditions that appear to be out there relative to why those trends are there. And it is kind of an ongoing discussion point, I think, for the tracks relative to their agreements with the various groups as far as what purse payouts will be and things like that. So there is definite, I think, pressure there, it seems like, to a downward extent. I will add, though, in my short time there, the resolve and I think the creativity, if you will, around the tracks and with the various organizations in charge of those tracks, they do a good job of thinking outside the box and creative-wise with how they market and promote themselves. So they seem to be doing a good job of trying to address some of those downturns, if you will. So.
Any further questions or comments for Mr. Ethan? Anyone in the public? Senator Rolstein.
Madam Chair, I would move that the committee recommend the appointment of Mark Ethan to the Minnesota Racing Commission.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Congratulations. The next appointment we're considering is Ms. Sundberg. Welcome to the committee. If you would identify yourself, please, for the record. And I believe that you are constituent of Senator Jenelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Chris Sundberg. I recently moved from Minnetonka to Shorewood, a few short miles away, so your records will show it. The Minnetonka address, I'm sure. This is my second.
Still Senator Olson?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. This is my second appointment to the Racing Commission. In terms of my background, I have a small public affairs PR marketing communications firm. Prior to establishing that business about 6 years ago, I spent most of my career on the corporate side. In the public affairs arena, general corporate communications, investor relations, that sort of thing. I'll leave it at that. If there are any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Ms. Sundberg, what's your connection to the horse industry?
None.
None either.
What's
the governor doing here?
It was fairly interesting when the first appointment came around because I don't have any experience. At least 7 years ago, had sure. No experience. I've certainly learned a great deal over the years.
Okay, are there questions or comments for Ms. Sundberg? Seeing none, Senator Perry.
Madam Chair, I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Christine Sundberg as a member of the Minnesota Racing Commission be confirmed.
You've heard the motion. Is there any further discussion? Anyone from the public wish to speak? On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Congratulations. Thank you for being with us. And then next we have James Sargent Lane. Mr. Lane, welcome to the committee. If you would tell us also a little bit about yourself and your work on the Minnesota Racing Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jim Lane. I am a resident of Medina, Minnesota, in northwest Hennepin County.
It's also Senator Olson's.
I also
district.
Am a constituent yeah. of Senator Jen Olson. I have practiced business law for more years than I care to remember at this point, and have specialized in the equine industry, both on the business and professional side, probably since 1980 or thereabouts. I've had the good fortune to represent breeders, owners, horse farm owners, and with the appointment to the Racing Commission last July the 1st to participate on the regulatory side of the business that I've been quite involved with here in this state since the inception of horse racing in 1985. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Rolstein.
Well, I see that the Kentucky, the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association had a 50-member board. You see what we're kind of like around here. It's like, how do you manage a 50-member board?
I would not recommend it, and I would suggest to you that a unicameral legislature might be an answer for all of you. I was I was not a fan of a 50-member board of directors.
I can see where that would, Madam Chair, I can see where that would be a tough one to handle.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see that you've been involved with some actual breeding, that it appears. There's the Northridge Farms. And I'm just kind of wondering, is there anything that you think we can do to encourage more Minnesota bred, to keep the industry kind of based here? And keep growing our own instead of maybe having to bring them in from other states?
Senator Roebling, as you well know from representing the area where the Canterbury Downs is located, this horse racing business in Minnesota, like it is in the Midwest generally and throughout the country, is on the ropes right now. On the financial ropes. I'm not suggesting that that's the case with respect to the capital structure of the racetrack, but I'm talking about racing generally. And the way that that industry in Minnesota and regionally and nationally can be propped up is through enhancement of purses. That purse money is what makes people invest in horses. It's what makes racehorse owners buy horses from horse breeders. It's what makes horse breeders want to own farms rather than lease stable space. And we need a far more sound financial structure in horse racing, not only locally but regionally and nationally. Casino gaming has been one of the silver bullets attempted in a lot of jurisdictions. To the extent that casino gaming at racetracks has redirected revenues into the purse structure, it has benefited racing in many, many states, including states that we compete with, Iowa, Oklahoma, Illinois. But racing needs to either alter its purse structure or find some other way of enhancing revenues, because right now getting people to invest in farms and in breeding stock and in race horses is a tough proposition.
Thank you. Mr. Lane, with regard to your legal practice, do you ever find that in conflict with your duties as a member of the Racing Commission?
Madam Chair, I've served on the Racing Commission for only about 10 months, but in response to a similar question from the former commission chair, I assured her that in all my years of practice, I think I know a conflict of interest when I see one, and I understand clearly what the obligations of a regulator are in that regard.
Thank you very much. Are there further questions for Mr. Lane? Seeing none, Senator Olsen.
I would like to move this one also.
Okay.
So I would move that the committee recommend the appointment of James Lang to the Minnesota Racing Commission be confirmed.
Members, you've heard the motion. Is there further discussion? Anyone in the audience wish to speak on the matter? Seeing none, all in favor of the Olsen motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Congratulations to the three of you, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
The next three that we have are Margaret Brapp, Judson Bemis Jr., and Peggy Burnett. If you would come forward, please. And these are appointments to the State Arts Board. We'll begin with Ms. Rapp.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. My name is Margaret Rapp. I live in Woodbury. I am serving my second term on the Arts Board. I applied 5.5 to 6 years ago, served the first 4 years, and then reapplied in the last year and a half. Very excited over the arts and cultural heritage money coming to the board. Wanted to sit with it, continue the work there. I am fortunate enough to be a stay-at-home mom with my 5 kids, which keep me very busy. And when I think about the Arts Board and my role, I like to explain it that I'm a consumer of the arts, not an artist myself, but a consumer. Any questions?
Ms. Rapp is a constituent of Senator Saltzman. Any questions for Ms. Rapp? You have her application, and you have comments made in the news release with regard to the appointment of Ms. Rapp and Mr. Bemis, at least, to the board. Any questions? Senator Sieben.
Madam Chair, I'd move that Margaret Rapp be, I move that the committee recommend the appointment of Margaret Rapp to the State Arts Board.
You've heard the, thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any further discussion? Anyone in the audience wish to comment?
I guess I would also like to thank you for sharing your time and energy and skills as a volunteer in the community. And obviously your 5 children don't keep you so busy that you don't get out in the community and share your skills. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on the Sieben motion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Congratulations. Next, we'll take Judson Bemis Jr. We have his appointment before you, Mr. Bemis. I guess some of these addresses have changed, but if your address is still on Mississippi River Boulevard, you are a constituent of Senator Cohen.
I am, yes. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I have a somewhat unique background in that in 1977.
You have to say your name.
I'm Judson Bemis Jr. My background is I started in 1977 as a professional actor in New York. I worked there for 8 years. I moved back to Minneapolis in 1985 and traded my life on the boards for life on the board, and for the last 25 years have served on various arts boards, including the Guthrie, the Theater de la Jeune Lune, the Playwrights Center, the Minnesota Orchestra, and McPhail Center for Music. I was appointed a little over 4 years to a first term on the Arts Board in 2008-2009. I was lucky enough to chair the board during when the Legacy Amendment was passed, and have worked with the executive director and the board in planning for and now the eventual distribution of the funds, and was reappointed with Maggie just recently for the board. And we'll answer any questions.
Are there questions? Senator Sieben.
Madam Chair, since we did talk about other colleges or universities that other members before us today attended, I'd just like to point out that Mr. Bemis is a graduate of Colorado College, which is my alma mater, and a great school and university.
Great school.
School out west.
I'm going to make a motion in a minute here.
So
are there comments or questions, further comments for Mr. Bemis? Anyone in the audience wish to comment? Seeing none, Senator Sieben.
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas just pointed out he also attended Harvard, which
the three of us did.
With that, I'm happy to move that the name of Judson Bemis Jr. be recommended. The committee recommend the appointment of Judson Bemis Jr. be confirmed.
Is there further comment? Seeing none on the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The last appointment before us is Ms. Peggy Burnett. Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself for the record and tell us a little bit about yourself. And as I understand it, you are also a constituent of Senator Olson's. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I think Senator Olson wins for the day. Ms. Burnett, welcome to the committee. Again, if you would identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Peggy Burnett, and I reside in Wayzata, as you just mentioned. For the past 18 years, I owned and operated the Bookcase of Wayzata, so running my own business, and also have been involved in the arts for probably the last 30 years.
And in your bookstore.
Thank you. Been involved in the arts as a collector of both emerging and established artists, have served on arts boards, am involved with the Smithsonian National Board as a board member there. So hold the arts in high regard, and I'm very delighted to have been nominated and appointed at this moment, anyway, for this position.
Are there comments or questions for Ms. Burnett? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering about all of this new money and how you are managing the appropriation of it from the legacy fund.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Burnett.
I was appointed to the board in January, and while I have read the strategic plan, was not part of the planning, and I would really like to defer that question, if I could, for more specific answers to either a committee member or to Sue Jens, if that would be all right.
That's fine.
Ms. Rapp or Mr. Bemis?
Madam Chair, we have a process where the grants, we have programs that people can apply for the grants. And the way that works is we have panels that review the grants. So as you can imagine, with the influx of money, we've been able to establish some programs that have not been around for very long, or were here, disappeared, and now we have them again. For example, a touring group. We've not had the funds to be able to do anything with touring. We've not been able to outreach to some of the communities that we would have loved to have outreach in the past few years. And so now we are establishing the grants for people to write, submit to these panels. The panels take a look at them, and then they come to the board. This first year, we're doing a wonderful job. We have a fantastic staff and executive director who have got the programs up and running already. The whole month of April, they're looking at the grants, and so you could stop by and watch the process as they go through the grants. And it's a two-year process. Typically, they get a two-year grant in some of them, and so we're doing a lot of work right now. Next year will be another round as well. But it's an exciting time because we're seeing things happen that haven't happened for years.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Just as a follow-up, how are you ensuring that the opportunities are balanced across the state? I noticed you mentioned touring, but is there a conscious decision to spread these out geographically?
Ms. Rapp or Mr. Bemis? Go ahead.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, we also operate with 11 regional arts councils. A little over a third of the money went to the regions to provide directly to their constituents. We were given guidelines by the legislature that approximately two-thirds of the money had to go into arts access or the ability for people to see more art, art education, and cultural heritage. So we have been, we've designed programs to fund within those areas so that we can get more people to the arts, more people can see arts, we can support our arts education, and we can also support the folk heritage within the state of Minnesota. So we will, as a board, in May, approve a large block of grants that, as Maggie was saying, are being approved by independent panels right now. and we expect to see this money actually into the state within June or July. So,
Madam Chair.
Senator Olsen.
When, this is probably to Ms. Burnett, when our children were teenagers, I was able to take advantage of, we went to almost every play in town using the rush line and ability to get those tickets very cheap. But in reading your background, it seems like you have a broad spectrum of interest in the arts, from theater to books. And I'm just curious, what's your vision that you would like to move the state towards?
Ms. Burnett?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you.
I understand, too, that Senator Olsen and his family have seen every production of Rent that has ever been put on any stage or any movie house ever.
From New York to San Francisco.
From New York to San Francisco.
Congratulations,
Ms. Burnett.
Madam Chair, thank you for the question. I think that when I look at my experience in the arts and what it means to be an artist and what art brings to every community, every state, and to our nation, the possibility that we can open the doors to new artists, emerging artists, and give them an opportunity to experiment with their work and to try to grow and develop their art is a gift for the whole country. But also to have the wonderful institutions, we are number two in per capita for cultural money spent in the country. We're behind New York. We're ahead of San Francisco. And our institutions are known nationally. The Walker is known, the MIA, the Guthrie certainly is very, very well known. The science, which is not part of this, but the Science Museum is one of the top in the country. So the importance of our continuing to support and help them grow and to encourage them, and many of them are very, very strong in this respect, but to encourage them to continue the education programs they have that is available online now throughout the state, I think is very, very important. So I'd really like to see us continue to do that, to become involved very much in the education, to broaden the access.
Madam Chair?
Senator Olsen, just okay.
Mm-hmm. With that?
Well, can I make a just on that?
You, sir,
I just want
committee.
To note, too, that Mr. Bemis is a constituent of Senator Cohen. Senator Cohen has also served on the Guthrie Board for a number of years, and there may be not too many of us that when somebody says uses the initials MOA, I was on the board of the orchestra as well, I think during the same, when I note, the same period that you are. And when I say MOA, I do mean the Minnesota Orchestral Association and not the Mall of America.
I'm with you.
Senator Olsen.
With that, Madam Chair, I would move the committee recommend the appointment of Peggy Burnett to the Minnesota State's Art Board be confirmed.
You've heard the motion. Is there further discussion? Anybody in the public wish to make a comment? Seeing none, on the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations, and thank you
thank
for
you.
Your service. Members, we probably are going to have, at least at some point, another hearing before the end of the session. But just in case we don't, I would like to share with you that Mr. McGowan is retiring from the Senate Counsel's office after 32 years with the Senate. And if we don't meet again, this is likely to be his last time with us. And Mr. McGowan, we would like to publicly acknowledge and thank you for your many years of fine service to this committee and to others. And I hope members will join me in thanking him.
Thank you very much.
Yes. He wants to know where the